This gospel, as originally intended, is meant to demonstrate that Jesus has the power, the capacity to forgive sins. And I want to just try to stipulate this morning that all of us are on board with that teaching. Amen? Jesus has the power and the capacity to forgive sins. And he has died to give us that forgiveness. Amen? So I don't want to look at that aspect of this gospel today. But what I would like to do is look at it from a slightly different angle or perspective. Still about the forgiveness of sin. Now, the title of the message then today is "The Doctor Is In. Are You Ready for the Diagnosis?" The doctor is in. Are you ready for the diagnosis? The first thing I want you to notice is this very point that the doctor is in. It says here in the text that Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, and it became known that he was at home. The doctor is in. And many gathered together so that there was no longer any room for them, even around the door. And then it says, and he preached the word to them. Now, brothers and sisters, today, the doctor is in. And Jesus is our doctor. Someone say amen. I want you to try to see beyond Charles Pope, who's up here. This guy that some of you call Father, some of you call Monsignor, some of you say, hey, you. Try to see beyond. And to see that right now, the doctor is in. And the doctor is Jesus. And Jesus is speaking to you and to me right now. So it is. And what is he doing? He is preaching the word. I don't know about you, but when I go to the doctor, I want the doctor to know what he or she is talking about. And I want them to have something to say. You ever go to a doctor and the doctor didn't really, they just said, okay, and then scribble on the pad here, take this prescription and you'll be fine. He said, well, doc, tell me, what's going on in my life? What's happening to me? Well, he's trying to get on to the next patient, amen? But this doctor, Jesus, wants to tell us what's going on in our life, amen? He wants to preach a word to us. And so it is that the doctor is in today. Now, the next thing I want you to see is not only that the doctor is in, but the determination of the distressed. Now, there is a man who is paralyzed. He's in distress, amen? You know, one of my worst fears is to take a fall off a ladder or be in a car accident or in some way fall and be paralyzed. A terrifying scenario in our life, amen? Paralyzed. But you notice that it is this distress that brings this man to Jesus. Who goes to a doctor? I mean, those who know they're sick, amen? I don't know about you, but I'm one of those types that avoids going to the doctor. Oh, I don't want to see that doctor. I got to sit in the waiting room, got a bag, a copay, you know. More medicine, another copay. Lord have mercy. It takes a lot, church, to get me to go to the doctor, all right? Now, about 2 months ago, right around Christmas time, I was in such distress that I got up that morning, it was a Friday right after Christmas, and I said, if I cannot see the doctor this morning, I'm going to the emergency room. I could not breathe. I was just constantly coughing. I finally had to just drag myself in to see the doctor, all right? It was my distress that brought me to the doctor. Because, church, I can be a hard case. Now, what brought you to the doctor today? What brought you? Jesus said, people who are well do not need a doctor. Those who are sick need a doctor. I came to call sinners. That's us, church. Oh, say, talk about yourself, preacher. No, that's us, church. That's all of us. Amen? And it is some need, some distress, some struggle, perhaps, that we're going through that got us to the doctor. Now, this man was in such bad shape, he needed four strong men to carry him. Some people need six strong men to carry him into church. But this man had some family members. And some of us are in church today because some of our family members noticed that we were in distress and they brought us to Jesus at some point in our life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm awful glad that my mother and my father carried me to Jesus' house when I needed to be baptized. Are you praying with me? I'm so glad that all those years when I was young and didn't know much about God, that my parents carried me to God's house so that I could go to Sunday school, so that I could begin to learn the Word of God. My parents carried me to God in prayer every day. I'm so glad that somebody carried me to God. Amen. All of us need to understand that somehow somebody carried us to the Lord at some point in our life. Some of us had to be dragged to the Lord. So it is that we found our way to God's house. And I don't know about you, but I also think that in some of the years when I was strong and sleek, not now, that I tended to sort of stray from the Lord. Are you praying with me on that? Anyone else is a witness in here? A lot of people testify that when I was younger, I was strong and sleek and didn't think I needed any help and I knew a few things and by gosh, I can accomplish everything. That's a great place to be sometimes in life. You know, in your 20s when you think everything is possible. But some of us in those years when we were strong and sleek, we didn't think we needed the Lord. It took some distress, maybe hair starting to fall out or growing weak. And some of us have had those midlife crises. Maybe it was an illness. Maybe it was a sudden death of a loved one. But some distress brought us back to the Lord. And so this paralyzed man who was not able to get near the Lord is now, because of his distress, brought right to the feet of the Lord. And he's crying out on his way, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. He's singing that gospel song, I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. But he's going to Jesus now, and it is his distress that brings him there. Now, again, who goes to a doctor? People who are sick and who know they are sick. Again, one of the things that keeps me from going to the doctor, I'm not sick, it'll go away, that's fine, I'm fine. Just a little cold, it'll go away. Hello? Anyone do that? Just a little ache or a pain, it'll go away. And the Lord's really got to turn up the heat to get us there, amen? And it's the same in our spiritual life. Let me remind you of an old song by Mahalia Jackson. It goes like this. Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. Don't take away my stumbling block, but lead me all around it. And then she gives the reason for praying like that in the song. In one of the verses she says, Now the way may not be easy, but you never said, Lord, that it would be. But when our way gets a little too easy, oh Lord, we tend to stray from thee. And so it is that there's a place for distress in our life. Can someone say amen? I didn't say we have to like it. But sometimes the Lord turns up the volume a little. Sometimes the Lord turns up the heat. But we got to know, church, that the doctor is in. But it's not enough to know that the doctor is in. We got to know, I got to go see the doctor. Now, I want you to notice some empty pews in this church. That is not for lack of a doctor. That is not for lack of patience. But there's just some folks out there that don't know they need a doctor yet. Sometimes we've got to talk to people honestly about sin in their life. Sometimes we've got to ask them. The Archbishop is starting a program this week, and we begin Lent next week. And you start to see it on the sides of buses and in some of the subway stations and other places. What are you longing for? Maybe it's God. Somewhere, we've got to get in touch with our distress, with our longing, with our achy, breaky heart. And not try to ignore it and say, I'm strong and I'm sleek and I don't need any help. Listen, all of us need lots of help down here, church. Are you playing with me? And somewhere, we've got to help people to get in touch with the fact that they really do need to see the doctor regularly. Regularly. Thanks be to God, most of us know that. Something has brought us to this understanding in our life that the doctor is in. And I'm so glad because I need the doctor in my life. And he has a cure for me. The doctor is a good doctor. He's a wise doctor. He's a loving doctor. And he loves me enough to tell me the truth. But the doctor is in. Hallelujah. Some folks say, I won't go see no doctor. We got to get to them. Amen. And we got to stay in touch ourselves with our need for the doctor. Don't try to ignore the distress in your life, the longings, the anxiety, the struggle with sin. Don't ignore it. It's what keeps you and me coming to the doctor. Now, the third thing I want you to see, not only that the doctor is in, and the distress, the determination of the distressed, but next, I want you to see the diagnosis that is made. Now pay attention, because something very important happens here. Did you ever go to the doctor thinking it was one thing and the doctor said, no, it's something else? Jesus looks at a paralyzed man and makes a very strange diagnosis. He says, and he must have been a young man, he says, child, your sins are forgiven. Now, stop the tape. Tap Jesus on the shoulder here. Jesus, pardon me, Jesus. It's not his sin, it's he's paralyzed. Now, we all know Jesus well enough by now to know that Jesus is not mistaken. But listen carefully. Let's not miss this point for a minute. Jesus looks at a paralyzed man, and instead of noting his paralysis, he notes something that is far more serious. His sin. Now, there's a pretty important and powerful teaching for us here. A lot of us have ideas about what's wrong in our life. And we have a little list that we have for God. Here's what I want you to set right in my life. But be careful. Sometimes you go to the doctor and you think it's one thing you need, but it's something else. Now, Jesus looks at a paralyzed man. That's a pretty serious physical problem. Are you praying with me on that? We all agree, paralysis is pretty serious. It's about as serious as it can get. Now, if this man's paralysis isn't dealt with, he's going to lie in a bed the rest of his life. Pretty serious physical problem. But Jesus sees something more serious. Even more serious than paralysis? Yes. His sin is more serious than his paralysis. Now, church, we do not think like that. If I were to go to the average Christian, I'm talking now a church-going Christian, and I were to say, tell me, what are some of the most significant struggles that you face in your life? More often than not, I would probably hear something like this. Well, I'm having some financial issues right now. Or, I've got some arthritis. Or, I've got diabetes. Or we tend to focus on worldly things, whether it's our health or our finances or some problem in our family, struggle in a marriage. And all of those are very significant issues in our lives. But how many people do you think, if you went up to ask them, what is the most serious and significant problem in your life right now, how many would say, my sin, and really mean it? And yet that is what the Lord is doing here. He's looking at a paralyzed man. And with our human eyes, we can't see anything more serious than that paralysis. And yet the Lord almost paid no attention to it. He said, your sins are forgiven. It's almost like sometimes, I think God must have a sense of humor with us. Because I have this image in mind that a man is being wheeled into the emergency room. And he's just been shot and he's bleeding terribly. And he's in a kind of a stupor, but he comes to as the doctor's looking over him. And he says, Doc, I am so glad that you are here. I have been meaning to ask a doctor if I could get a hair transplant. And I sometimes think that's how it must be with us and God. We come to God and say, Lord, my finances! Help my finances! And God is like, wow, man, you're practically bleeding to death with sin. And you want to talk about money? Or, Lord, I got an ache in my shoulder. And the Lord is saying, wow, man, you're worried about your body, but your soul's going to head to hell. Whoa, you know? I think that sometimes God must just have to have a big sense of humor with us. Because, church, there is nothing more serious and significant in our life than our struggle with sin. Now, this is not the only text that demonstrates this, where the Lord looks at a paralyzed man and says he sees not that, but his sin. But rather, let me give you a couple of other examples. You remember when the Lord said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to go to hell with two hands. He says Gehenna, but Gehenna means hell. Now, another place he says, if your eye is your problem, pluck it out. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to go through life with one eye than to go to Gehenna with two eyes. Now, the Lord is using what's called here Jewish hyperbole. That is to say, he's exaggerating, but to make a point. And here is the point. That it is more serious to sin than to lose my right hand. It is more serious to sin than to go blind. Now, we don't think like that, do we? If you and I, let's just say, if I were to lose my right hand today, I would mourn this day for the rest of my life. Terrible mourning. I would think of this day as a day of infamy, as a day of a horrible day in my life when some horrible accident and my hand was severed, and from that point on, I had no right hand. I would never forget this day. I would mourn it. I would hate it. I would be anxious even thinking about it. Even the thought of just losing my hand just fills me with dread. But church, why don't I think the same way about my sin? Because Jesus says it is more serious to sin than to lose my right hand. We don't think like this, do we? And even when I say to you, we should think like this, we still have a hard time thinking like that, don't we? We're very focused on worldly things. For example, our finances, our physical health. And we can feel very devastated about a financial crisis, devastated about a physical illness for ourselves or for someone else. Devastated. But why aren't we as devastated about our sin or about someone else's sin? Let's just make light of it. Now, I'm not saying this is true equally of everyone here in this church today. I'm just saying we, human beings collectively, have a very hard time getting this through, don't we? We don't think like this. But I want you to see that the Lord does. When Jesus came to save us, a lot of people were expecting a Messiah who would restore political justice. The Romans were oppressing the Jewish people. They were being squashed under an iron boot. And Jesus paid no attention to the iron boot. In fact, he reached out to Romans, to Gentiles. At the time of Jesus, there was great economic injustice. Jesus said very little about it. When people wanted a Messiah who would come in on a war horse and reestablish the kingdom of David as a world-class power so that the state of Israel that would become a great nation like it was during David's time, Jesus said, don't even tell anyone I'm the Messiah because that's not why I've come. The angel said to Joseph and Mary, name him Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I'm not going to say to you that God doesn't care at all about political justice. I'm not going to say to you that he doesn't care about your finances. I'm not telling you not to pray to God about your finances or about justice or about physical health. I hope you pray about those things all the time. And I hope I do. Because, you know, you have not because you ask not. Hello? We ought to pray about those things. But pay attention to the diagnosis of Jesus here. Because as much as we pray about those things, we ought to be praying, Lord, I'm struggling to forgive someone who has hurt me. And this is a very dangerous place for me to be, not being able to forgive. I'm begging you for a miracle in my life that I can learn to forgive someone. I may not be able to live in peace with them, but Lord, help me to get rid of my resentment and my bitterness, because you warned me that if I don't forgive others their sins, I can't experience forgiveness from you either. Maybe someone in this church is struggling with greed. And because of that greed, can't love the poor, can't reach out to those in need. And yet Jesus warns, if you don't give people to drink, to eat, shelter, clothing, you're not giving it to me. Depart. You can't live in the kingdom of heaven. It's a very serious issue. I know that poverty is complicated, but all of us have to learn to be more generous to those in need. I know that it's not wise to just give money to people in the street randomly, but what are we doing? Whether it's through the Archbishop's appeal or through other charitable causes. But are we known as a generous person? Some of us may be struggling in this church today with our sexuality, struggling to remain chaste, to stay away from pornography, to stay away from fornication, premarital sex, to stay away from sexual activities outside of marriage. And the world says, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it and makes light of it. But God looked at a paralyzed man and looked beyond his paralysis and said, your biggest problem is your sin. And are we willing to pray like that? Lord, I need help with my finances, but I also need help to get rid of pornography, or to get rid of fornication in my life? Are we willing to pray like that? And to take it as seriously, even more seriously, as we often do other things. So again, the doctor is in. But are you and I ready for the diagnosis? I could go on with other examples of sin, but let me leave it there. Just to say to you and to me that we make light of things that God does not make light of. That we often value and place greater importance on things that are not that important to God, or at least are less important. And I'm not saying that is true of everyone in this church, but I'm saying we collectively struggle with thinking the way God thinks, with seeing as God sees. Now, the final thing I want to say to you about this gospel today, not only that the doctor is in, not only that the determination of those who are in distress, not only the diagnosis that's made, but next I want you to notice the deliverance that is depicted. It says here, Jesus gets into a long debate with them about whether he has the power to forgive sins. We know he has the power to forgive sins. But I want you to notice, he says to them, I want you to understand something. That I've dealt with this man's most serious problem, his sin. And because of it, he can start to walk again. And I want to demonstrate it to you right now. He said, take up your mat and walk. And the man took up his mat and he started walking. But I want you to notice something, church. That there's a spiritual meaning to this. It isn't just that he's enabled this man to walk this earth. He's enabled this man not just to walk, but to walk uprightly. Do you hear the distinction? To walk uprightly in a righteous and a just manner. He is taking care of his sins. It's not just about physical walking now. It's about walking uprightly. And I have it on the best of authority that as this man took up his mat and started to walk, he was singing a gospel song. He was singing that I'm so glad I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Did you hear that, church? He wasn't just saying, I'm so glad I'm walking. He said, I'm so glad I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. And he started singing another gospel song. It's a highway to heaven. But none can walk up there but the pure in heart. So you see, our most serious problem isn't if we can't walk on this earth. Our most serious need is to be able to walk up there. And only up the King's highway, the highway to heaven. And none can walk up there but the pure in heart. You might be able to physically walk, but until you and I are pure in heart, we can't walk up the King's highway, the highway to heaven. Church, this man had wisdom singing that gospel music, didn't he? And I have it on the best of authority that this is exactly the song he was singing. So glad. Not just that I'm walking, but I'm walking up the King's highway. It is a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. Church, it's not just about walking down here. It's about walking up there. And that's why we need this diagnosis. The Lord can heal my body, but what I really need is for my soul to be healed. The Lord can fix my finances, but what really needs to be fixed is me. Fix me, Lord, for my long white robe. Fix me for my journey home. Oh, fix me, Lord. Fix me. Fix me, Lord. Fix me. The doctor is in. Are you ready for the diagnosis?